last week, we're going to journey through the book of James, and so we're here at the second kind of full section or full paragraph, if you want to look at it, or thought paragraph that that James has, and so we're going to dive into it today. Last week, just for kind of recap, forgot to do the memory verse, didn't I? I didn't look at Miss Kathy. I always look at Miss Kathy, and I didn't. All right, well. All right, let's do a memory verse then. How about that?
Y'all want to do that? All right, here we go. Let's do it together. Philippians 3:12. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Philippians 3:12. All right, here we go. Now, James. So by way of recap, let's go over what we talked about last week. Last week, the question that we tried to answer was, what do we do when things don't turn out the way we want them to, thought they would, or expected them to? Like, what happens when bad things happen in our life? And last week we saw that the answer is very simple, but the reason is more important. The answer is that we should respond with joy. Now, that sounds odd, but what we saw last week is the reason James says that we should respond in joy when these opportunities for growth happen is because we can have confidence that God is using them to take us somewhere. And that somewhere is so that we'll one day look more like Jesus than we did today or in the moment of that opportunity, right? And so we looked at all that. You can go back and read James 1, 2 through 4 and dive into that and kind of see more about what we talked about last week. But here's the question I posed last week as well, kind of toward the end, that we're going to talk about this way. What happens, or let me phrase it this way. Have you ever been in a situation, an opportunity, I'm going to start using that phrase, opportunity for growth, right? A challenging situation, a shaking situation, as we said last week. Have you ever been in one of those, and what came out of you in the moment sounded like a really good thing? Like you said something, you're like, boy, I just dropped the mic on that dude. What? Or either your response verbally or emotively, you thought, man, that was awesome. I just won that moment. But then in the next moment, you realize, that was probably not a good idea. Husbands, you ever had one of those? Like, I just dominated that conversation. And then you realize, I lost. How did I lose? Y'all ain't never done that, I don't reckon. Okay, maybe that's just me. All right, so, well, at least I mean, I have felt that way before sometimes, right? But have any of you been at, let's use another situation, at work, you ever felt like, hey, that was a good response, and then in the next moment or in the next day, you realize, yeah, I really blew that opportunity. Anybody ever been there? All right, good. I think we all have. Well, thankfully, James answers the question of what happens when we have those opportunities for growth and what comes out of us is not what we want to come out of us the next time. He answers the question, what do we do? How do we handle that? How do we change what's on the inside of us so that the next time we're squeezed, the same thing that we don't like doesn't come out again? And so that's what he's going to talk about in James 1, 5 through 8. So let's read it together. Here we go. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So when James answers this question of what do we do when what comes out of us is not what we want to come out of us the next time. How do we change what's on the inside of us? He attacks it from two angles. He attacks it from what God does and what we're supposed to do. And he does it like this. So follow with me real quickly because this is going to set up how the sermon's going to go, okay? First James tells us one thing we're supposed to do. Then he tells us how God's reaction is going to be, and then he comes back and qualifies our what we're supposed to do. Okay, so he tells us what we're supposed to do, then he tells us how God's going to act, and then he qualifies how we're supposed to do it. Is everybody with me? So us, God, us. That's how we're going to look at it. So here's the first thing. It's a really simple thing. James says, whenever you lack, so remember that, whenever you lack, ask. Whenever you lack, ask. Because what does he say? If any of you lacks wisdom, in other words, if any of you are in that opportunity for growth and that squeezing situation happens and what comes out of you, you realize, that wasn't good. I don't want that to happen again. In that moment, when you lack, you've realized, hey, that didn't honor the Lord, that didn't honor Christ, that wasn't Christ's honor. When you lack, he says, ask. Simple, right? Not profound. You don't have to run around three times, jump on one leg, pull your ear and rub your head and your stomach at the same time. He says, just ask God, right? Now, men, I want to speak to us for a minute, us, because I am one, so let's talk together. We have a terrible time of asking, right? Directions, help. I can't tell you how many times my wife has said, why don't you call somebody? No, I got it. I'll figure it out. Getting deep today early. We're getting deep quick, right? Right? That collective grunt, right? But men, we have a difficult time asking, right? Now, we're all willing to give, and a lot of you, I've seen this firsthand in here, we're willing to help, and we'll pitch in, and we'll do anything, and we'll help somebody else, but we just don't want to help ourselves, because, like, for whatever reason, we got it. Like, it may take us 2 hours, and it's just around the corner, but, you know, we'll figure it out. If 2 hours previous, if we'd have made one phone call, we'd already be done inside out of the 100,000 degree temperature. But we want to be out there because we want to sweat for some unknown reason. And we just want to, because we don't want to ask, right? But we often do that in all of us, not just guys. Ladies, you're involved in this too. We often do that in our spiritual lives, right? We don't ask for whatever reason. It's like, well, I'll just figure it out. Well, how'd that work in the first place? Because a lot of us, if we're honest, us just figuring it out is why we're in the place that we're in. Right? We're just going to figure it out. Well, that don't usually come out too well. It may, you may, you know, as my granddad always said, a blind hog will find an acorn every now and then. Right? And sometimes that's the way we approach our spiritual life. Well, I'll just figure it out. And God says, James says, no, just ask. Because here's the cool part. James tells us three things happen. God reacts in three ways when we ask. You ready for this? So, us, when we lack, ask. Here's God's response. James gives us three qualifiers of how God responds when we ask. You ready for them? The first one is, he's generous. He's generous. Right? Look at the verse again. If any of you ask, is verse 5, lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously. Generously. That means overflowing, in abundance. Not piecemeal, not just enough, right? It's a funny story. When I was a kid, I was a teenager, ninth grader. Pastor friend really loves to tell this story, and we all get a kick out of it now. My dad had gotten a new truck. At that time, it was, you know, now it's like 20 years old now, but it was a Z71, nice truck. It was like the nicest truck he had ever owned up until that time. And, it blew like frigid cold air at the time. And so it was this time of year, and we were practicing football. It was like it was this past week. I just want to try to tell Tucker, we didn't have practice this week for his team because it was too hot. I said, boy, too hot. Huh. You still getting one water break because we burning daylight out here if we ain't practicing. And, you know, he's like, I'm like, no, seriously, like, you got kids out there passing out. Get up. Anyway, it was a day like this week. Full pads practice. We had been out there, and at Warner Robins High School, the ninth graders, no joke, practiced harder than the JV and varsity team. We were out there before they were, and we were still running sprints after they quit. After they had done gone in, ninth graders out there, we was about to die. So we got in, and for some reason, me and my buddy both sat in the back seat, and Z71, it was a bench seat, and they didn't have like rear air coming out of the top, so it just came out of the front. And so, man, we're about to die. And my dad, he don't like the car frigid cold like I do. He likes it just, you know, like 74 in the car. And so we're about to die. And so my buddy is like, hey, Mr. Tom, you think you could turn the air on? And he don't have it like on max, you know, with the recirc button hit. It's just, you know, kind of like right here. So it's not even like real cold. And no joke, y'all, my dad is, the button's on off, and on that truck it had like five, like do-do-do-do. He hits it to one. And we both look at each other like, and my friend's like, you going to ask him to turn up the air? Like, he don't say nothing, but he's like. So we're just kind of having this conversation on the bench seat in the back. And so finally I'm like, hey, Dad, can you turn the air up? So then he goes to like two. And it's like, no, like you got to go all the way, bro. Dad, come on. Like, we about to die out here. So finally he turns it on max, you know, and we're like, oh, some relief. But oftentimes that's how we approach the Lord, isn't it? Like, we assume the Lord's just going to give us one notch. But what does James say? He said he gives it to us generously. Like, he gives us the max of what we need in that situation. He doesn't just drop little bits here and there, right? He gives generously. Here's the other thing that James says, and I love this idea. He says he gives it to us generously, but without reproach. Now, reproach isn't a word we use a lot, so I had to look it up. The word reproach means to defame, chide, or taunt. Common word for today would be bully. So when you put without with it, it means God doesn't taunt or bully you for not, let me phrase it this way. God doesn't taunt or bully you for lacking. Right? Think about that. So oftentimes I think I have the picture, or we have the picture, that God is sitting behind the desk and he's got his feet propped up and he's like watching the monitor screen of your life. Right? And we assume that when we fail, God is eating his Cheetos, drinking his Diet Coke, because the Lord don't drink Pepsi products, right? Coke's fat, you know, he doesn't Pepsi, right? So he's drinking his Diet Coke, eating his Cheetos or whatever. And when you blow it, we automatically assume God does some version of, I knew they weren't going to do that. I knew they were going to blow that. Oh, stupid. That's what we assume. You know why we assume that? Moment of honesty? Because that's what we do. Or that's what's been done to us, right? Really? Yeah, I mean, that's what we do. We've all been there before. When someone is working through that difficult time and they, like, absolutely tank it and they bomb, we sit back with the Cheetos watching their life and go, I knew they weren't going to be able to do that. What stupid. What were they thinking? I knew they were going to fail. And so that's how we assume God reacts in those moments when we blow it. But James says the exact opposite, because James says God is not the person who made fun of you when you were a kid in class because you couldn't read well. Right? Y'all have that kid, right? He makes fun of everybody else who's not as smart as they are. He says God's not like that. God's not the bully on the athletic team who makes fun of the kid at kickball who can't kick the ball. That's not God. We assume that's the way God is, but James says that's not how God is. God doesn't make fun of you when you ask him because you've realized you've blown a situation. God's generous, and he doesn't make fun of you for asking him for help. And the last thing James says is that God is willing to do it, right? He says he's generous, he doesn't make fun of you, and he's willing to help. That is an amazing picture, an amazing portrait of the God that we serve that I don't think we understand fully, and I don't think that the world understands. Because what does the world seem to think about God? That God's out to get everybody, and that God's got the lightning bolt ready to zap somebody, and that God is just making fun of everybody, making it hard for everybody. And James says that is absolutely false. But rather, God is in heaven waiting and ready, overflowing with help and willing to give it, and not going to make fun of you for needing it. The greatest illustration of this in the Bible is the story of the prodigal son, and I'll tell it to you really quickly. The story of the prodigal son goes like this. A father has two sons. The younger son comes to the dad and says, Dad, I want my inheritance, a.k.a. I wish you were dead. So the dad obliges, gives him half of everything he owns. The son goes off. The dad doesn't see him for a very long time. And the son is living it up. He's partying up. He's got all kind of friends until one day he has no more money. And he is so broke that he is having to feed pigs, which for a Jewish person would have been an abomination. And it's so bad that he's not only feeding the pigs for a pagan, but he's eating the food that the pigs are eating because he don't have no money to go buy regular people food. So he's got to eat the pig food, right? And it gets so bad that he's in this muck and he's in the mire and he says, hey, guess what? I'm going to go back to my father's house and at least I can be a servant. I can't be a son anymore. I get it. I've blown that opportunity. I'll at least be a servant. And the story, Jesus tells a story that as the son is a long way off, meaning the dad is watching for the son to come back. He's sitting on the front porch of the house. And he's looking down the road, waiting for his son to come back. And Jesus says, when he's a long way off, the father runs through town to meet his son. And the son doesn't even get the words out, hey, I'm sorry, or he's about to. He doesn't even finish. And the father says, no, stop, stop, stop. You're my son, come on in. They throws a robe and a ring and a crown, and they throw a big throwdown party. They kill a calf, and they have a good time. And that's the picture of what James is talking about. The father had two options in that moment. He could have said, there's that sorry old son of mine, finally making his way back, wasted all my money, and he could have went back in the house. That would have been with reproach. But what did the son? What did the father do? None of that. He ran to him, grabbed him, and said, I'm so glad you're home. Come on, we're going to throw a party because you're back. Right? And that's the picture that we need to see when we read this passage about when we lack, God acts like the father in the story, not like the bully you encountered in elementary school. So that's how God responds or reacts. So James says, our goal is to ask. When we lack, ask. And James says, then God will generously willing, and without reproach give. Now, James is going to qualify how we should ask. Because he doesn't just say ask. He could have. He could have put a period after he explained God's response, but he doesn't. And in the following verses, 6, 7, and 8, he explains how we should ask. And he says there's two ways you can ask God. You can doubt when you ask, or you can ask in faith. Now, let's explain doubting just for a minute because it will help us explain what it means to ask in faith. James says, do not ask in doubt. What does that mean? The word doubt there means hesitation or wavering. Let me kind of give you the word picture that he's talking about. So, let's go back. You're at that opportunity for growth moment. That shaking moment, that squeezing moment. And what comes out of you is not what you want to come out again. And so, you ask God. James says you can ask in faith or ask in doubt. And in that moment, he says, if you ask in doubt, here's what that looks like. Here's what he means. In that moment, you say something like this. Well, God, I'd really like for your help to ask, but I just don't know if you can do this. Or we have little cliches that we try to tell each other to sound humble. But really, it's a cover-up for doubt. Here's what we say. Well, you know, y'all don't worry about praying for that. God's got bigger things to worry about. What you're really saying is, I'm not really sure if God can handle my thing. Or we'll say, well, God's got bigger fish to fry than me. He's not worried about that. That's like not a biblical statement either. Because what we're really saying is, I'm not concerned about my issue one. Well, that's a different problem. Or I know I have an issue, but I'm pretty sure God's got bigger, like he's worried about nuclear war, not my anger at the driver who just cut me off and I wanted to hit him in the quarter panel like Dale Sr. used to do at Talladega. Right? Y'all ain't never had that. Like, just give me a little tap in the corner, right? You know, he's like, oh, it's just driving. God's got, you know, governments to worry about, you know, mass murderers to stop and all that kind of stuff. He's not worried about my quarter panel hitting the car in front of me. What we're really saying is, I don't really think God can help my anger issue. That's doubting. When we're waffling back and forth between, can God help me? I don't think he can. Let me ask, but when I ask, I'm pretty sure he's not even going to care. That's what James says coming to the question or coming to God in doubt, hesitating or waffling or wavering between two opinions. God can, God can't. God can, God can't. So we ask, but in the back of our minds, we're not really confident that God will do anything because we're pretty sure God doesn't care. James says that person, listen to what he says. He says that person is like a wave of the sea driven by the wind. And even more importantly, he says that person, listen to verse number 7. For that person, the person who prays and asks God with doubt, must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Meaning, if you ask God, but you waver between God will and God won't, you will not. That whatever came out of you in that moment of squeezing, you better believe it's going to come out of you again because you're not allowing the only person who can help you to actually help you. That's why James says we must ask God in faith. So here's what I want you to understand today. When I lack, ask God in faith. When I lack, ask God in faith. When I lack, ask God in faith. What does faith mean? What does it mean to ask in faith? It's very simple. It's the opposite of doubt. It means coming to God, knowing you have an issue with what came out of you, and you don't want that to come out of you again, right? You want to move away from Dale Sr. knocking that guy on the quarter panel to somebody, you know, that just lets folks ride around them in the night. Y'all know, if any of you watch NASCAR, there's only a couple drivers going to win every race. Some of them, as my high school buddy said, some of them out there just riding around. If you've never watched NASCAR, ain't a few guys going to win. The rest of them just riding around. So maybe you realize you just need to be like one of them guys just riding around. Don't get mad. What asking in faith means is when you pray, you know God's character and you know God's action is going to be real and evident in your life. You may not understand how exactly that's going to work out. You may not understand how that's going to work and what that's going to look like, but you are confident in God's character to change you on the inside. So whenever in that moment comes and you realize whenever that opportunity for growth comes and that moment happens and what comes out of you isn't what you want to come out again, you need to realize you lack, ask God in faith, knowing that he will work in your life. Three really quick things. I know it's warm in here today and we got to go. But let me give you three real quick things to ease your mind on why. Are application points of this idea that when we lack, we can ask God in faith. All right, let me give you three things to ease your mind that I saw as reading this passage. Number one, God realizes you will need him, right? From this passage, one of the takeaways that we can understand is that God realizes we'll need his help. We will need him. Sure, God desires obedience and holiness in our lives. Sure, God expects us to be like Jesus in every one of our actions. But here's the reality. God's smart enough and God knows enough to realize we ain't going to do that every time. So, like, don't get blown away. Like, don't feel like, well, I lost my opportunity. No, God's going to give you another chance, and he's going to help you, and he's going to move you through and move you through and move you through to one day we're fully mature, complete, lacking in nothing, as James said last week. Here's the second thing. God is fully stocked with whatever you need. The other day I was in Walmart on like a Tuesday night, right? Let me caveat my story with there were no hurricanes, there were no tropical depressions in the Gulf, there was nothing in the Atlantic, and no tornadoes had happened. I needed one loaf of bread. That's all I needed, one loaf of bread. And we're not like brand snobs, so I get the Walmart bread because it's like 99 cent, right? Okay? There was no bread. Like none. Like there was no Walmart bread. Not even the wheat bread was there. Like, and wheat bread is always there. There was no wheat bread. There was no Walmart bread. Like not one, not even a smushed loaf was there. There was no bread. I mean, and I'm like, it's 9:30, 10 o'clock at night on a Tuesday. Like, is there something, is the milk gone too? Did the EMS not call my phone? You know, that lady who calls? Did I miss something, right? No bread. So I had to get the giant loaf of Sunbeam, which is good bread. But in that moment, I went to Walmart wanting Walmart, and they lacked my Walmart bread, right? And sometimes I think that's like we don't ask God, or we get in that doubting phase because we feel like, you know, God's running short on self-control. You know, like you need self-control not to hit the guy in the quarter panel, and you know, you feel like, well, I can't ask God for that because he's all out of self-control help this week. Like he gave it to somebody else. No, no, no. James says that God has generous. He has more than enough. God's fully stocked with whatever we need in the moment we realize that we need it. And here's the last thing. And I think this one is maybe the most important one. From James, this passage today, I think we need to understand that we don't have to have it all figured out when we ask. Because the reality is, if you and I had it all figured out, we'd never have to ask, would we? Right? Guys, if we really had it all figured out, we'd never get lost. Right? And need Miss Google to give us directions. We'd never not know what we were doing, ladies. Right? And so I think from this passage, realize you don't have to have it all figured out to ask God. Because if you had it all figured out, you'd never need him. But the point is, we need him every day. Well, like the song, I need thee every hour, right? Isn't that true? So here's the big thing that I want you to realize today. Here's your challenge for the day. I don't know what's going to come your way this week. I don't know what came your way this past week. But I do know that all of us will face an opportunity for growth sometime soon. And some of us are going to be okay with what came out of us. Right? In that moment when we're squeezed, whatever comes out is Christ honoring. Some of us, whatever comes out, we're going to in that next moment go, ooh, I didn't like that. And if that happens to you this week or next week or in the next month, I want you to remember these words. When I lack, ask in faith. So I don't know when it's going to be. For some of you, maybe when you get home. Right? Less than an hour. And in that moment, when I lack, ask in faith. When I lack, ask in faith. Because all of us are going to, at some point in the near future, face a moment when we are pressed and squeezed. And some of us, if not all of us, will at some time soon not like what comes out. And that doesn't necessarily mean we failed. It just means we've got some more to be chipped off our image of Jesus so that we can look more like him. All right, pray with me. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Lord, thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you that you do give us grace to continue when we mess up. Thank you that you do give us mercy, Lord, to change. And you do give us the ability and the strength to change to look more like Jesus. Lord, help us not to be prideful. Help us not to be arrogant. Help us not to be, Lord, overconfident in our abilities. But Lord, help us to, when we lack, ask in faith. Lord, help us to be quick. Lord, help us to be people that are quick to ask in faith, realizing we lack, so that we can look more like Jesus, so that we can influence our community, so that we can influence our world and our nation for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you and praise you for this day. And Lord, we thank you for all that you're going to do in and through it. And Lord, I pray that you would move in our hearts and lives this week so that we can look more like Jesus. In your name we pray.